Welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view.
All glory to the Hypnotoad.
This is episode 179. Sorry, I don't know what came over me. For October 25th of 2022, and on tonight's podcast, we've got TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil. How you doing, Shannon?
I'm doing great, man. What's up, everybody? Great victory, great win. We're rolling. We're rolling. May not look pretty, but we're winning.
I don't know. There were parts of the game on Saturday that looked pretty, but we'll get into that a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Also joining us, we've got former TCU player Nathan Hernandez. How you doing, Nathan?
I'm great. I think I have to start combining how about them Cowboys and go Frogs together. So I'm going to start saying how about them Frogs, and it's going to – you should take that as both.
Yeah, there you go. I'm with you. I love it.
We'll copyright that right after we're done recording.
That's awesome.
Finally, rounding out tonight's panel, we have got SI writer and just fantastic member of our TCU team, our Killer Frogs team on the Fan Zone, Nate Cross. How you doing, Nate?
I'm doing great. The Frogs got me all hyped up, and I'm feeling that Max Duggan energy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I tell you what, Max is getting a lot of press lately, and we'll get into that in just a minute, but just to get us started, of course, if you didn't see the game on Saturday, I don't know what you were doing if you didn't. TCU, of course, comes away with a 38-28 win against Kansas State, the fourth straight victory over a ranked team. And somebody correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's only the second team. I think the 2016 Tennessee team was the same. And only the second team in the last 20 seasons of college football where a team has beat a ranked opponent 4 weeks in a row. That is quite an accomplishment. It's the only time, I think, ever in TCU history that the program has ever done that. Quite an accomplishment by this team. I think a lot of us going into the season were not expecting this at all. And this team just continues to impress. But another game, kind of like last week, it was kind of a tale of two halves. And Shannon, I want to start with this because this seems to be a recurring thing. And I want to know, you're the defensive guy. I want to know about this. Defense seems to be getting off to a slow start. Second half was great, blanked Kansas State. But is this indicative of maybe the game plan that they've got, the bend don't break? Or is this just a situation where they're game planning for a specific quarterback and they didn't get the guy they were thinking they were going to get?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. I mean, I keep getting asked, you know, why are you guys playing such close games? And you just said it a while ago, guys, we're playing ranked teams. I mean, these are not easy games by any stretch of the imagination. But also, with that being said, when you're nationally being talked about, when you're all over the media, you're going to get people's best shot. Guys, we're going to get West Virginia, we're going to get their very best, probably the best game they're going to play all year because they want to knock off the big dog. And so, yeah, I don't like that we start off slow. But I love even more is that we corrected at halftime. We come out, we look like a totally different ball club. Guys, it could be very easy to go down in halftime and come out looking worse than you looked the first half. That lets me know that there's coaching going on, there's changes going on, and the players are responding. That's beautiful. That's beautiful football. You can't complain about that. That's awesome to see.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, whatever corrections they're making at halftime is working in every single game that we've been in at this point. This team does look different coming out with the adjustments at halftime, which I'll chalk up totally to the staff. The staff's doing a great job getting these players ready, but I think you're right. I think the players, this is a different mentality out of this team that we've seen over the last couple of years at TCU. These guys seem to be, you know, going back to that old adage when you were playing, Shannon, hunting together.
Yeah, I mean they're on the same page. Again, I'll say it again. I'll keep saying they're playing for something, and it's special to see. And you know, I think just by listening to people and the vibe you're getting, we have not seen this type of football in a long, long time. We've had some special teams over the years. We've been spoiled. We've had some special teams, but there's some about this squad, man. They're very special. They're very coachable. They gel together. They celebrate together. They, you know, you can just see it. I'm yet to see when they make mistakes. Everybody getting down. They pump each other up. They're rah-rahing each other. It's just a different vibe, and I love it. I just love it, man. I go to war with this group any day.
Yeah, it has been interesting to see, and they haven't yet put together. And Nate, I want to bring you in on this. A couple of the players over the last couple of days have made a point to say, "Hey, look, we haven't really put together four straight quarters of football yet. There's plenty of areas for improvement on this." What's the take that you're getting talking to these players, listening to them during interviews? What's the take that you're getting as far as the vibe that these players are taking week to week?
Well, it's a completely different vibe than I've ever seen from a TCU team. They're very selfless, and they're wanting it to do it for each other. And I think that's a mentality that Coach Dykes brought with him, but he can only do so much. The players have to accept it. And I mean, I saw like a quote from Max Duggan, and he says, "You know, nobody ever talked about us before the season. We don't listen to them. We just keep on doing the game plan and working together." And I think that's pretty like cool that he says that, because like he explains what their game plan is. It's just working together. And I think that's just the mentality they're going to keep rolling with. And you can see them on the sideline, like Max, he even if a bad play happens or they get down on fourth down, he's going to cheer them up no matter what, and they're going to repeat what they keep doing. And I think that just wears defenses down because they're not making mistakes. And so that's what my take is.
Yeah, I mean, mistake-free football has been really nice so far. I mean, in the last couple of years, I think a lot of TCU fans got really upset with just the ridiculous penalties nonstop. Starting off drives, instead of first and 10, you're at first and 15, first and 20 sometimes, just because of some ridiculous penalties. Now, we've had our share of ridiculous penalties and a couple of, catch errors here on special teams, which seems to be plaguing us at the moment. But Nathan, an interesting point. These guys do seem to be playing a lot harder. And one of the storylines that have come out over the last few weeks is that TCU is what's the quote that's going around, that we're a dirty team? Is that what we're hearing now from the press?
Yeah, everybody, not everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, a lot of people. And from what I've seen lately, obviously, because we just played them, was mostly K-State fans, with a couple OU fans chiming in and a few Kansas people chiming in, whatever, saying that, TCU is dirty. And then you go a little further into it, and they're like, "Oh, they've always been like that. It's a culture thing." And just pulling out old articles from like when Ty Summers hit Baker and got ejected from the game. Like, people that you can tell just have not played a lot of football in their life.
Or at all.
Or at all. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like
Oh, I'm sure they've played a lot of rounds of Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah, you can't get ejected in that game.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, if we go back to it, yes, one hit was called for targeting. And you could kind of tell, and everyone always, a lot of people were saying, like, "Oh, he just kind of was playing the part." But he did look like he felt bad about the hit. It was, a last second decision. Quarterback decides to slide. He's already kind of starting to commit. Whatever it may be, they're going to throw the flag anyways. And then the other two, because Mason Rudolph played hurt, or not Mason Rudolph, I'm sorry, Spencer Sanders played hurt. Going back, I'm dating myself now. The other two, Kansas, landed on a shoulder. Bad luck. We've had that happen to us plenty of times. We've had seasons where we've been plagued by injuries. That's football. It literally, you just have, sometimes you have a very talented team and people get hurt. And that was honestly a thing that plagued us in the last few years, I think. But we got a new strength coach. We got a new nutrition program, all this stuff to kind of help us fuel our bodies better, so that, and Coach P always said it, be the hammer, not the nail. For a long time, we were the nail and we were just getting hammered. And now we're the ones doing it. We have adapted and trained our bodies to handle that. And then, yeah, and then this past one, did they ever say why Martinez didn't play or
It
left?
was a hip issue. So there was a one of the earlier plays in the game. He kind of got hip checked while as a tackle when he was running. It just happens. There was nothing wrong with it. It was clean, but it must have aggravated something that he already had.
Yeah, and you see it in the NFL all the time. They do not want their quarterback running a lot because they're going to get hurt. And like, they spend a lot of money on those people to not get hurt. You start to see, like, early on, a lot of running quarterbacks come into the league and they they want to do their thing, and then takes one injury, and then all of a sudden it's the quarterback's fault for running, but now it's all of a sudden our fault for hitting them while they're running. So it's football.
Well, let's address the situation that it was. It's a cultural thing, right? I think that's kind of the big thing, because you get a lot of the, crybabies on either side that always say, oh, the ref should have thrown that flag, or that was a really dirty hit, or whatever the case. Fine, you can isolate that to one season. I think the bigger issue, though, is you got these people now that are trying to perpetuate this idea that TCU is somehow a dirty quote program and has always been that way. And I we have two players here that actually fit into two different categories of TCU kind of history. So Nathan, Shannon, I'll open it up to y'all. Was this up? And Shannon, we saw how you played, man. You played hard during that time period, man. Everything was 100%, man. It was all full speed all the time, and there wasn't any of this protect the quarterback stuff. I don't remember seeing anything in any practices or any games and where the coaches were teaching you guys how to hit in a quote dirty fashion. So Shannon, why don't you take us from the early part of this TCU history? Is there anything that anybody could point to and say that's the reason why TCU is quote dirty?
Yeah, somebody sent me some today about the fans. We've got the worst everything right now. We've got the worst fans, and I loved it. I said, yeah, they rated us like number two, the worst fans in the student section. I was like, hell yeah, that's awesome. You know what I mean? And they sent it to me in another manner, and I'm like, bro, you want that. This is football, guys. This is high-energy game. This is what – it's a multi-million-dollar, multi-billion-dollar sport, guys. And when you're out there – and this is what fans can – and that's why, I caught myself reading a couple quotes, and I got pissed, so I stopped reading. Because they simply don't understand. I tell people all the time, one of the things you miss as a football player is when you run out of that tunnel, your adrenaline is on like cloud 20. You know what I mean? And then the first thing you do is kick off, and you got to run down the field full speed. I mean, come on, guys. There's going to be some major collisions in that first couple, two or three series. Now, when it comes to the quarterback, guys, I'm a physical guy, and they've changed the rules up so much, and it is what it is, but it's still football. But there's a reason why quarterbacks wear the yellow and the green and the bright jerseys that practice. There's a reason, because they're valuable to the team, and you don't want to get them hurt. Well, guess what? On Saturdays, on Sundays, your jersey is the same color as your team's. Your jersey is the same color as mine. You break that pocket, you're not protected anymore. You're going to get hit. Okay, and I'm sorry, when you have killer linebackers running at you free and you decide to slide at the very last minute, it's very, very difficult, even though they changed the game, to especially when you're sliding at the last moment, it's hard for a guy in his head to pull off. It just is. I tell people all the time, okay, try it. You just go outside and play around and just play with it and try. You can't do it. You're gonna hit each other in the shoulder. You're going to do something, and it's not going to feel good. I'm sorry, but this is football. I love it. I love the physicality of it, and I'm just old school with it. Listen, if you don't want to get hurt, don't break the pocket. And if you don't want to get hurt, don't run. That's the name of the game. Sit back there and throw the ball, throw it away, do whatever you got to do. It just, like Nathan said, we are faster, we're bigger, we're stronger. We've not always had that. Guys, we can go back since the people who want to post and go back and pull articles, go back and pull all the articles of all the years we were getting hurt and killed our seasons because we couldn't stay healthy because we were getting hit. We were getting tagged, right? We like you said, we were the freaking nail. Now with the hammer, it don't feel so good. So, man, I don't buy into all that crap. I love it. And I would tell the defense to this day, if I was to speak to them tomorrow, keep doing what you're doing. Matter of fact, you said you hadn't played a complete game yet. I can't wait to see you play a complete game.
Yeah, and I agree with you. So, Nathan, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about that this defense, especially after that OU game, does that kind of get into their mentality? Are they going to kind of slow up? Are we not going to see the same kind of, physicality out of the defense? That doesn't seem to be the case at all. These guys seem to be just, again, week by week, putting aside what was happening last week, focusing on the next team, and not letting all of this noise kind of handle, kind of become this kind of chatter inside of the locker room. And as a former player, that's, it's something that everyone gives lip service to, right? At press conferences. Oh, yeah, we got to put this week aside. We got to look for the next one. These guys seem to be doing it, and they seem to be proving it week after week.
Yeah, it gets hard. And to speak on the whole cultural thing real quick, My biggest takeaway from it is, or opinion on it is, for so long we were the little guys, like in terms of national views, everything like that. So we were always having to play tough to earn people's respect because we were a smaller school. People didn't respect us. OU, UT, like people didn't respect us. So we had to play physical to earn our respect. You know, Coach P always talked about the game when, you know, Adrian Peterson came in. He was leading the league in rushing and everything. And we came out, we shut him down basically. We had to do stuff like that. We had to be physical to kind of slow people down and to kind of be like, hey, you know, don't take us for like, don't overlook us. And so we had to do that for so long that it did become a culture thing. It is a huge culture thing. We play physical football. That's just what we're known for. And so, like, yeah, the last few years were upsetting because we weren't playing physical football. We were getting pounded. And just like now that it's back and people are on the receiving end, like Shannon said, like it doesn't feel good. You know, these teams are so used to just kind of rolling over us that, you know, we kind of do the same thing to them and they get butthurt. So it is what it is. But yeah, it gets difficult to overlook week after week after week after week, especially undefeated. You have so much, you especially nowadays with social media the way it is, it's so easy to see what people are saying about your team. It's easy to get a big ego, and that's why I think they've done a good job of kind of temperamenting that. You know, we've got, if you look at our running backs, you know, they're not selfish. You know, they talk about how they're a committee and how the you I think it was Miller that posted, like, you can't stop 3 and 33. Like, they want each other to be successful. And so you see that. You don't see like, oh, they need to, they're gonna see someone saying like they need to keep giving Miller the ball, and they're not taking it like, oh, you know what, they need to. They're taking it as like, you know what, if I get the ball, cool. If not, Mari's gonna do the same thing that I am. So good luck stopping us. And you see that in this team. They're not, it's, and again, I can't say everybody, you know, I'm sure there's some people on the team that might be feeding into it. Who knows? But I think overall they've done a good job of being able to kind of keep the egos in check and just move on to the next game, despite how hard it is. It is very hard nowadays.
Very hard.
Yeah, and Nate, you know, that's an interesting point, this kind of change in philosophy that we're seeing with this team. And you brought up Max's great effort that so far we've seen out of this season. How are you seeing this on the offensive side of the ball? Do you think that the philosophy change, or do you think this is more of a staff change? Do you think this is just better people in the locker room? We got rid of some dead weight. What are you hearing around the program? What would you attribute this kind of philosophy change in the program?
Well, what I would say is it's a little bit of everything. I think the coaching did change, so that helped. But like I said earlier, the players had to accept it, and it takes leaders in the locker room. And I think TCU's put a good amount of effort selecting the right leaders for the team. And I mean, you see Quentin Johnson, you see Kendre Miller, you see Max Duggan. They're all talking to the players and lifting them up. And like you said, like Kendre Miller said, it's a team effort. And like Max, the same way, he's over there patting people on the head. And I mean, even like Chandler Morris, I mean, he's not seeing the playing time, but he was over there celebrating with Max and stuff. I mean, you see them all together. And I think it's good to see that because you're able to help each other be a team instead of being a selfish team and being a one-sided deal. And so I think that is important. And I mean, that's the thing that I think we were lacking from these past few seasons is the team effort.
Yeah, and we did actually have a pretty good question along these lines from the board this week. So if you haven't had a chance to check out the Killer Frogs board, just go to killerfrogs.com, go to the forum, and sign up for a free account. But one of the posters over there, Brewing Frog, actually had a really good question. I want to point this to both Shannon and Nathan. He wanted to know, you know, with the staff turnover and the new attitude and this philosophy that we were just talking about, how long does that focus and magic stay in place? So his example was, you know, you had 2013 to 2014, and Nathan, you were a part of this. That change in staff was almost felt immediately, at least by the fan base. I mean, there was an immediate change in attitude and a bearing of how the Frogs kind of started winning, and that stayed in place for a little over a year, and it just kind of dissipated, right? So wants to know, you know, just how does that change, kind of how does that stick with a team? Like, there's a lot of success, like the program like Alabama has, they seem to continue to replicate the success over and over again. We've seemed to kind of capture this lightning in a bottle for a little bit, and it kind of dissipates a little bit. Do you think this is a situation where it really relies on the staff, or is it staff and players? What sort of thing can the Frogs do to kind of keep this thing going?
I think it's both. You know, staff has to come in, do a good job of kind of settling tempers, because usually when you come in off of a 4-8 season like Meacham and Cumbie did in 2013, spring of 2013, they came in. You know, there was a lot of hostility within the team. You got to kind of get the egos in check, which, you know, it seems like we've done a pretty good job of. Last year to this year, they did a good job of that 2013 to 2014. You have to cut the fat, you know, you got to cut the bad apples, the bad weeds. You got to start from scratch, really. If you've got a, like, say, take, let's go golf. If you've got a putting green and you get a diseased area in it, you got to cut the whole thing out and then restart it. You know, you got to get rid of whatever's causing the infection, the cancerous, whatever term you want to use, you got to get rid of that first. And I think they've done a good job of that. So I think that's where it starts. And then I think it continues as, you know, you build success and it can't be right away. Like, it's got to be slow. You got to, like, implement the process. You got to explain to them and show them, like, why we do certain things, to kind of develop that culture. That way it's not just like a, oh yeah, I'll try it. And then as soon as it goes to crap, you throw it out the window. And I think, you know, when we talk about the 2014 season, like, it went away for a while. You know, I think there were problems within the coaching staff, which you can't have. And so I think that caused a lot of the turmoil we ended up going into later. But I think it's both. Coaches got to be on the same page. They got to be able to get along well together. And then they have to do a good job of containing the egos on the team. And the team has to hold each other accountable as well.
So, Shannon, 97 to 98, similar situation?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that, man. A lot of times change is good. I mean, you mentioned Alabama. You mentioned, you know, the Clemson. There's a few teams that have that type of ability because they have that type of history. They have that type of coach. But for the most part, if you take, you know, Coach Sullivan going in, we're going 1-10, and you get Coach French on, he comes in, and from day one, when he meets with everybody, again, to Nathan's point, he cuts fat. He starts all over. But not only that, he meets with each player individually to check the heart, to see what they're all about, and then we have a team meeting. Well, people bought in. That's the thing, and that's what Nate's talking about. You have to buy in. Coach has come in there, and he's cut fat. And this started way back the day when he landed in that helicopter and addressed the fans, and he started to work. That's when this started. This thing didn't start overnight, because a lot of this type of success, guys, to be honest with you, it usually don't happen like this. Now a new guy coming in, we're undefeated. We're ranked 7 in the nation. Like, this is like a fairy tale almost. It doesn't happen that fast. But kudos to the coaching staff, cutting the right trimming the fat, getting the right players to gel, and everything they did in the offseason, the chemistry and everything we've been talking about that we didn't have, now we're getting back to that. It's all gelling and the formula is all working. But I guarantee you, those guys have gold. They have gold aboard with all their goals on it, and they're coloring every week. They're filling in those goals because they're hitting them. They're hitting them. So it takes a special coaching staff to get the players to believe. It takes a special group of leaders like Max and those guys to pull those players together when the coaches are not always there. Everything is clicking right now. And if you have any mishaps in any of that stuff, this wouldn't be happening. I'm telling you, so these guys are hitting on all cylinders in the locker room, outside the locker room, at practice, all that stuff. They're hitting on all cylinders because you can see it working on Saturday nights. And if they were missing, if they had any flaws in any of that, this wouldn't be happening.
Yeah, I can't disagree with any of that. And we certainly, as TCU fans, we've seen this sort of phenomenon where we do have a changeover in coaching staff and the team seems to buy in. And there is that little bit of, you know, we have to say goodbye to certain players and attitude changes. And it's really interesting. So I'm hoping Coach Dykes can kind of keep this thing going. I hope these players continue down that path of – as Nathan said, just quenching the egos in the locker room and just realize that you guys got to hunt together. You guys got to play together as a team. And you going back to this a little bit, it's interesting because one of the Nate, you know, one of the storylines that keeps popping up that I keep hearing over and over again, and Nathan Oy, excuse me, Shannon pointed out, we're number seven in the nation at this point. And the things that I keep seeing from a lot of journalists is kind of like, well, yeah, but they haven't really played anybody, or yeah, maybe the Big 12 isn't all that great. But when you go back and you take a look at this, and I want to point this out to everybody, this was posted. I don't have the source for this, so apologize if one of you was the source who's listening. But if you take a look at the top six or seven teams in the nation, TCU has a better record for their opponents, actually. So far, it says records of the opponents that have beaten so far of the remaining unbeaten teams. So TCU's opponents total out to 29-21, Georgia's 29-22, Tennessee 30-23, it goes on and on and on. Basically, though, TCU opponents have a higher win percentage than anybody else among the unbeatens, and that is with Colorado not having a pulse, right? You know, this is an interesting point. We wouldn't be seeing this team does seem to be poised to do something very special if they can put this thing together, as they seem to be starting to get the pieces kind of aligned. They put this thing together down this really difficult stretch of these last five games. This might be something interesting.
Yeah, well, like I've seen, like, it's a different team, and like I think if they keep pushing each week like it's just a new opponent and they're set for that prize instead of thinking two games forward, if they just think about any team that's ahead of them, they're going to succeed. And I think they're preparing for the right – they're preparing in the right way. They're focusing on who they're going to play and treating them like they're a hard opponent. And like Coach Dyke said in the Carter boys – he says, I don't care that it's Tarleton. They've got good players. They wouldn't make it to college if they weren't good players. And they have the potential to upset you. And he said you need to play at your full speed and not let off the gas. And I think that's important for the team because, like, in years prior, we'd let off the gas and we'd let these teams back in. I mean, even in, like, 2014 years, I mean, even though we were the top dog, we let off the gas against Baylor and stuff, and they slipped back in. I mean, you saw Max stay in the full game last game, and I mean, you could see he's a little beaten up, but we weren't letting the pedal off the gas, and he wanted to score one more time, and you could just tell.
So one thing I do want to point out: what about that call at the end of the game to go for it on fourth down to put the game away? I mean, in years past, if this is a Gary Patterson team, they pump that ball away and play defense up 10, right? But with a couple minutes left to go in the game, you've got a fourth and short, and instead of putting it away around the middle of the field, you call a quarterback draw and let Max Duggan get you the first down, not by sliding, by going head first into two linebackers to pick up that first down. That you would never have seen that the last couple years at TCU.
No, yeah, you're for sure right. And I mean, like, Max is a competitor, and he's going to go for it. And you can tell that he's not afraid. He's not afraid to run it, and he's going to use his strength and ability to get to that first down. And I think that just shows Coach Dyke's, like, belief in this team. He knows that they can do it. They just got to execute that play. And I think that was huge to let Max do that, because that just helps his, like, mentality that he can do it and he's going to do it. And so I think that's important.
Well, and that mental and physical toughness, you know, this kind of stretch, especially these last 5 weeks, and Shannon, I have another question from the board for you about this. Mm-hmm. I think we are the only Big 12 team that doesn't have an off week during conference play. In fact, one of the questions was, and they were curious about y'all's thoughts, and Nathan, I'll bring you on those too. Thoughts on playing 10 consecutive weeks of conference play this season. Is it likely a matter of time before TCU just loses one simply due to being mentally tired and dinged up? Or do you think that this may actually play well for the players just having to go week after week after week?
Well, you know how we say it in our history with having byes, we hadn't been too great coming off byes. And so for me personally, being that It's a grind. It's been a grind. It's going to be a grind. The way these guys are looking in, you may see a little of that maybe while we're starting a little slow. I don't know, but they seem to pull it together and pull it out. My thing is this: one thing about momentum, we know this. You never want to kill it. You never want to kill it. And so, you know, I'm interested to see how, you know, we'll go just jumped in the field, how Philly's going to come back. Cause they had a bunch of momentum. Now they take a break. I'm interested to see how they come back. Because sometimes buys are, they're supposed to be to get you healthy and all those kind of things. But when you have the stuff that these guys now have today, the cryotherapy and all the stuff that they have, the nutrition and all the stuff that they have nowadays that we did not have, we would all get in ice tubs together back in the day. They're a little bit more equipped. They're better equipped to handle their bodies throughout the week to get these guys rejuvenated and fresh and ready to go the following week. So for me, I wouldn't want to kill the momentum. Is it a grind? Yeah, but that's what tour days are for. We prep for this stuff. We're meant, especially here in Texas in the heat. We're past, this is the fun time of year. If the weather's changing, you can fly around. It's not hard to breathe. This time of year is where it really gets fun because you'll start seeing people play faster. The defense is faster because the weather allows you to play a little bit faster because it's not really a grind on your body with the heat. So this time of year gets fun. And I believe in the training staff and the coach staff. They're smart enough to hold people off, take care of their bodies. I'm sure we're dinged up. I'm sure they'll handle that in the right manner. But for me, I don't want to stop the momentum.
Nathan, do you concur?
Yeah, I agree. I don't want to stop the momentum. I do think there is whoever makes our schedule, whenever we switch from having two byes to one bye when they put in the Big 12 championship game, whoever makes our schedule has always given us an early bye. I'm not going to speculate. I think that it's a little biased. But, yeah, we've always had an early bye. In regards to the one by era, which you could say does come back to, it does catch up with you a little bit just because the Big 12, no matter what people say, is a hard conference to play week in, week out. To go undefeated in the Big 12 is hard to do. You know, the teams that have done it, good for them because it's a task. There's no real easy game. You know, even if it's a team that's not great, you're probably playing in an environment that's not fun to play in. Like if it was Kansas when they weren't good, the games were hard because there was nobody there. You really have to play that game for the love of the game. It's not a fun environment to play in just because there's not a lot of atmosphere. Morgantown's hard to play in. Iowa State's Ames is hard to play in. You know, OU's OU. TCU were tough. Teams did not like coming to play us. It's a hard task to play week in and week out. So, yeah, I do think that it does catch up with a lot of people. But I'm also kind of superstitious, too. Like, I don't want to kill the momentum. I hated bye weeks as a player, to be honest. They suck.
Well, and a lot of the players I've talked to all echo the same sentiment. I mean, when you're on a roll, the last thing you want is that hiccup of a bye week. Even if it means you may get a player back, it's just, you know, you want to keep going. You don't want to stop. You just want to focus on the next thing and just keep going. And maybe this is a blessing in disguise that the whoever it is who makes our schedule just decides to screw us with bye weeks. But who knows? It'll be interesting to see how this all shakes up. But it will shake up on Saturday as TCU rolls into Morgantown. And Nathan, that is certainly a place that you've played a couple of times. And you're right. That has historically not been a great venue for us in the past, and we've had some spectacular finishes in Morgantown, but that seems to be the way things go, right? They end up being a spectacular finish. It's not a runaway kind of game for TCU, and playing a West Virginia team that, I mean, on paper looks like it may be one of the easier of these last five games, but I think everybody knows you cannot take West Virginia for granted. These guys are really good. They are dangerous, and playing in Morgantown is not going to be an easy task for these Frogs. So we'll come back for predictions in just a minute. But, Nate, let me start off with you. What are you expecting out of this game on Saturday?
No, I think you summed it up right. I mean, on paper, it looks like it should be an easy game. But, like, we know that they got a great quarterback who's played in the SEC, and he can definitely sling it. And they've got great players who are making plays. They've just – got to limit the errors. And so, I mean, being at home for them, that could be a challenging matchup for TCU. And it's always been challenging for us. And so my hope is that we take care of business like we have been doing and just keep pushing. And I hope we get ahead early this time. If we get ahead early, I think it'll just run smoothly, even if they're scoring. I think it won't change how we're playing. But if we get a sluggish start, it could be a tough one to come back from. So I want the Frogs to get up early and not let the pedal down. So yeah, that's
Shannon?
Well, listen, man, I'm gonna be honest with you. It's hard to go undefeated. And I had from jump when we started the podcast, I shouldn't even say the podcast, when we started the season, I had us losing one game. I'm not saying we're gonna lose that game, but I think it's gonna the two teams who play in the Big 12 championships will have at least one loss. Because it's a grind week in, week out. It's just a grind and I don't think our goals. I don't. To be honest with you, on that board, the goal board. I don't think undefeated's on there, right? I don't think the way these guys are playing and their attitude. I don't think they're talking about being undefeated. That ain't the goal, right? So, if they just go, it's going to be. Listen, I think it'll be a rough Saturday for us. I think we'll go in and we'll have to play. We're going to get their best shot. The fans are rough up there. And I think there's going to be some scoring. I think we, at some point, like we've had, I hope we get it together before halftime this week. If we're not playing our best ball, I hope we can figure it out before halftime and then go in and readjust and come out and really just kind of take it to them in the second half. But I think it's going to be a ball game. I think it's just that type of grind, that type of week after a big win. We've had back to back to back big. I mean, we've had some games, guys, and it takes a lot out of you. And so we're going to see how mentally tough this team is, how focused they can be in practice week, how focused they can be when they get out to playing. And if they can do those things, they'll handle their business. But I think it's going to be one of those football games. It's going to be a grind.
No, I don't disagree, Nathan.
Yeah, you can't come out the way we have last games like this coming week. I know we've shown we're capable of coming back and we're capable of doing halftime adjustments and all that stuff, but it's different at home versus away. At home, you get like even a little bit of momentum and the crowd starts to get back into it, and then you kind of get a little more. It's a little easier to get playing away. You got yourselves. You've got some fans, but for the most part, it's just you and the 100 people on 100 other people on the roster. That's it, and coaches, whatever. But you can't do what we've done early this upcoming game because, one, like Shannon said, they're going to give us their best shot. Everybody's going to give us our best shot, their best shot the next 5 weeks in a row. It's just what it is. They want to beat the undefeated team. Everybody wants to be that loss on their record. So they're not going to let up if they get up, and you don't want to give them momentum. You don't want to let them start feeling themselves. You got to get on them early and step on the gas and don't let up. That's just what it is. So I don't know. I'm nervous because it's an away game and it's Morgantown. I feel like when we played in Morgantown, it's either been a really close game or we've gotten blown out. I don't remember when we've gone up there and just kind of walked all over them. 2014 year, we were great. Even Baylor lost that game. And that was my whole argument. We should have been with them. Baylor lost in Morgantown that year. They had great offense. They got some hitters on the team, regardless of their record. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be one of those games. It's going to be a hard-fought win by TCU if they come away with a victory. It's not going to be easy. Totally agree with everybody's assessment on this one. But let's get into predictions. So, Nate, why don't you start us off your prediction for this Saturday?
I'm going to say 38-21 TCU.
Okay, good prediction. Nathan?
Dude. 33 frogs.
You guys are on the money. Both y'all take it. I had them 41-21. I think we'll come out 40-41. I think we'll hit 40 points. I think we'll be somewhere in there. I just think it's going to be close the first half. I think it's going to be a kind of a somewhat of a shootout. I just think we're going to have to withstand the charge. They're going to hit us with everything they got right out of the gate. We're going to have to withstand the charge, regroup, and then go at them. So I think it'll be close, but I think in the end, like we've been doing, we'll pull it out and come out of this thing victorious.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking the same thing from an offensive standpoint. I'm thinking 42-17, though, for the Frogs, because I think the defense is going to figure this one out a little bit sooner than they have in the last couple of games. Also, I really do kind of like this matchup with Max and our receiving core against this particular pass defense, because, you know, West Virginia, if there is one glaring hole in the West Virginia units, happens to be their pass defense. I think they're like ranked 124th in the nation at the moment. And that seems to be their Achilles heel. And I think we're going to do a good job of opening up the passing by not abandoning the run. And we haven't done that in the last few weeks, even though there's been several opportunities where I think in the past, our offensive strategy has really kind of been to go away from the run whenever we get panicked and whenever we get down. But even when we got down against 17 against Oklahoma State, against 18 against Kansas State, not only did we go back to the run, but we doubled down on the run. And yeah. I think that is that's a huge positive for the passing game and for guys like QJ and Tay Barber and Wiley. I mean, goodness gracious, a tight end at TCU has more than one catch, but not only that, more than one touchdown in a season. Give me more
it's
of that.
Crazy.
Give me more sure. of that. I
well
want to
rounded.
See more of Wiley. I mean, this is a phenomenal offense that I think is going to be darn near difficult, if not impossible, for West Virginia to shut down. And if that does happen, I think we've got a lot more problems on our hands, and there's going to be a lot more mistakes on the offensive side of the ball. But I think the defense is going to play, going back to what Nathan was saying, you only got yourselves there, right? And the fans and the TCU, there are going to be a lot of TCU faithful there, and we love the TCU fans that travel, but you only got yourselves there. This defense is going to play off the offense, and the offense is going to make sure that this defense has something to play for, because they're going to rock it. I think it's going to be a good game. But we can't let them hang around, because we let them hang around, it's going to be another one of those nail biters. I hope this breaks the mold, Nathan. I hope this is the game we talk about going, all right, we went to Morgantown, we took care of business. I think this is going to be it. So we'll see how it goes. It'll be nice. It is a 11 o'clock start.
Another early one.
Well, but look at it this way. I mean, how much moonshine can you drink before 11 a.m.?
Like the night before.
Well, but less than you can drink before 7 p.m.
But that gives me time to take a nap.
That's true. That's true. But, you know, I don't know. Do they light couches on fire in the afternoon there, or is that strictly a night activity? I'm not sure. Hopefully we won't find out.
Anyway, it depends on how cold it is.
That's true. Yeah, hopefully it's not that bad. It's going to be a good one, and we're all looking forward to it. And with that, I think we've come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody who is out there listening to us. Of course, you can find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and, of course, Spotify. And, of course, you go to killfrogs.com, read all the articles about Frogs Athletics on the Fan Zone, and, of course, visit the forum. Why don't you go ahead and sign up for a free account. Let us know what you think in the prediction thread. What do you think the TCU West Virginia game is going to turn out to be? And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's the time we all get our frogs up and we get to say,
all glory to the Hypnotoad.